Thank you so much, Bruce. Are you guys ready for some Spanglish here? So, a lot of people don't know me, so Spanglish. So, it's just so good to be back. We were just driving here, and also it just confirmed everything that God is doing in my heart this week. For I knew I was coming here, and I've been praying for Livestream, you know, and then for this time that I was going to be here, and God just gave me a revelation of coming home, but He gave it to me in a way that I'm coming to a safe place, and He showed me that you guys carry an anointing, a fatherly anointing, and it's all over Bruce and all over Jason, that fatherly heart that many will come to find refuge and rest in this place. Many people that have been burnt out in ministry that they just thought, okay, that's it. There's no hope. That's it. The end of my calling or whatever. I feel like God is going to bring them here. And we can see already that happening. At least it happened to us when we came back from Mexico. We found a place of refuge and a place of rest, a place where we grew again. We got healed and loved again. And then, okay, we are ready to go. And May Bruce was saying, you know, like, we probably should have done it sooner. I don't think so. I think it was the right timing, because we went with healing in our hearts, with not that we were completely and bad or something like that, but we needed that time of rest and restoration and strength in our lives. And it's like, okay, we are going, and we were sent, we were sent with love, and we still have a great relationship with Bruce and Jason here. So I want to honor you guys for that heart of the Father, and you will see many people being here, being sent and being restored. So I want to say to you that if you ever had a ministry before and you were serving the Lord, you are in a good place. It is good for the soldiers to come home. It is good for them to come and get strength again, to get equipped again, to get to sharpen just the source and go back into battle again. So stay here, rest here, learn from these guys, get equipped again, and you soon, because the calling of God is not irrevocable. You will soon gonna be sent to the place where you need to be to extend the kingdom of God. I love that. Thank you for that. Thank you for sending us. And part of connection is part of that heart of that these guys have, and they send us. They want to see the kingdom of God advance. They want to see the kingdom of God advance. And that is the calling that we all have, right? We need to go and into the nations to plant and to serve and to do whatever. I mean, some of you are called to plant churches. Some of you are called to lead worship. Some of you are called to write books. Some of you are called to extend the kingdom. But we all have a calling of God in our lives. Do you believe it? We are born for a purpose. God just didn't make a mistake. He didn't just form and say, okay, I want you to be there on Sunday mornings, and that's it. He called you for a purpose. So it's so good to be here. I want to give the 15 minutes. I have 15 minutes now. I was just, I was hoping that Fabio was here. You guys know Fabio, right? You guys know Fabio? You know what? If you ever want to... if you want to ever get jealous of someone, just become friends with Fabio on Facebook. Fabio posts, if there is one thing that he posts in his Facebook is food. Everybody knows that, right? So food, and I love food. One of the things I want to talk to you about is eating at his table. And I was just thinking about how much I love food as a Mexican. You know, I grew up in my house, and my dad and my mom, they always have a lot of food. You know, and that's part of my culture. It's part of my family. You know, we got together with my grandma and my uncles and my cousins, and there was always food. We always sat around food, and I remember and there was a time in my life when I was losing a lot of weight, and I was getting into shape. I was playing football, and then I remember my grandma coming, "Hey Pepe, anything wrong with you? You are losing weight," And it's totally, it's like people think that you're, sort of getting sick and things like that if you're losing weight. And so you always try to keep, okay, let's eat, let's get together, let's throw it, and Why am I talking about that? Because that's how I feel every time I get together with the family of Christ, you know, with the family of God. Every time I go to a place and I'm like, okay, I'm just get to eat with these people, right? I get to eat with these people because that's what it is, you know. We just get to eat together from the king, from the table of the king. And one of the things I love, you know, like, and also when I came back here to Canada, when I moved here to Canada 20 years ago, you guys think completely different. It's like, oh man, you're getting too, you know, you're getting too big. You know, you need to lose weight and exercise. And then Ben Gerson takes, you know, all the pictures that he posts on Facebook is with all his T-shirt, right? So he's like, oh, he's just, my goodness, he's like, what's going on? And then he tried to do that once, and my wife didn't let me to post my picture. So. Thank you, Leah. For the sake of relationship and friendships, I didn't do that. And anyway, it's a different thing. But how many people here like to eat? We love to eat and we love food. And I want to tell a very short story now because I keep on talking about, you know, and about food. But I want to share a small little story that we find in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 9, I'm not going to read it for two reasons. One, I didn't bring my glasses. And two, every time I read, I confuse people. So when I read in English. So anyway, so I'm just going to say it also for the sake of time. So it happens here in 2 Samuel 9. We have King David now. He's now in the palace. And then he says something, and he declared this, and he just confessed this, and he says, is anyone in the family of Saul that is still alive so I can show my mercy for the sake of Jonathan? Is anyone in the house, in the family of Saul, King Saul, so I can show mercy for the sake of Jonathan? And you guys know that Jonathan and David were best friends, right? They were best friends. They were so tied together. They did everything together. Even when Saul wanted to persecute, when he was persecuting David, Jonathan came and just, they were best friends. And when they were young, they promised each other that if something had to happen to the other person, then they were going to take care of their descendants. You know, how many people know that is true friendship, right? Because you can be friends with somebody, but imagine when that person passed away, would you take care of their kids and their you know, of their children and their family? And so I'm thinking, man, the friendship that these guys had, you know, it's something to learn from. Really, so David was saying, is anyone in the house of Saul, in the family of Saul, and I can show just the mercy for the sake of my friend Jonathan? And see what happened, what had happened, and why when he was now the king of Israel, what happened in 2 Samuel 2, 4, the Bible said that there was in the palace of the king. I just want to go back a little bit so you understand what happened, why David now is the king of Israel. And so what happened in Samuel 4, the Bible said that there was a small little kid, 5 years old, in the palace. And he was there in the palace. And the Bible said that he was the son of Jonathan, the prince, and the grandson of Saul, the king of Israel. Imagine this little kid, 5 years old, growing up in a palace. You know, I have an 8-year-old girl, and I call her my princess. You know, it doesn't matter. I just come, and I love on her, and I call her my princess, and I kiss her a lot every day. Every day, I tell her, you know, how much I love her. And also my boys don't want to hear that. You know, it's when I come, and I say, you know, as a Mexican, I come, and I kiss on the cheeks, even to my boys. And now they look at me from the distance when I come to school to pick them up, and it's like, hey, Dad, how you doing? They just want to kiss me. But anyway, all to say is like this little kid, 5 years old, imagine that growing up in this castle, in this palace with a king. Imagine everything that this little boy heard in his life. You are going to be the next king. You are an amazing, you are just as good looking as your father and as your grandfather. Imagine how good looking he was. Then the king, the people of Israel named Saul the king because he was a good looking. He stood up among everyone. He was tall. He was dark. He was handsome. He was part Mexican, probably. maybe not. But anyway, so he was such a good looking boy. And imagine everything that they said to this little boy. Are you with me? You know, you are a good looking boy. You're going to be just as good looking as your father. And he had everything. He was in the palace. He had servants. He had people just doing everything for him, serving him, changing, giving them royal milk and royal diapers and royal toys. And everything was like a, you know, like some of you probably will dream about it. Some of us, I will say, oh, imagine being born in there and everything. Anyway, I better hurry up. So, so one morning, something happened in the palace. Something happened that it wasn't just a regular morning. One morning, this little kid got up and he was probably playing with his toys somewhere. And all of a sudden, this somebody runs through the door of the palace, a messenger, and says something to the rest of the people. And all of a sudden, this little kid there is starting to hear people crying and people yelling and people screaming. And something happened in the palace, and it was not a normal day, a normal morning. And what happened is that the news is that the messenger came with the news that not only the prince have died, but also the king Saul died at the same time, the same day. Not only the king, and they thought, okay, the king is dead. Now his son is going to take over. No, also the son, Jonathan, they both were killed on the same day. So the big news came into the palace, into the castle there, and it's like the king is dead and his son is dead as well. And all of a sudden, imagine what this little boy was hearing and everything from the distance, probably. And the Bible said that his nanny, after hearing everything that happened, his nanny came running and picked him up and ran away. I don't know what she was thinking. Probably his life was in danger now. A 5-year-old boy with all the power. To reign and to rule, and I can see how his life was in danger because there are so many people that wanted probably the power, right? So the nanny comes, picks him up, and runs away from the castle. And the Bible said that as she was running away, she dropped the kid, and all of a sudden he begins to cry. And when she picks him up, he realizes that both of his legs were broken. And the Bible said that he never walked again. Imagine this little kid from being, you know, growing up in the palace with everything that he wanted, with everything, you know, all the amazing words of encouragement, you are the next king, and all of a sudden loses his dad and his grandfather. Imagine that pain. And not only that, loses the place where he belonged. And not only that, his ability to walk got also affected because somebody that he trusted. Somebody probably this is the nanny then probably she trusted. You know, like it's so hard sometimes to get kids to pick them up. You know, trying to come to Zoe and it's like, hey Zoe, how you doing? I know Zoe very well. She doesn't know me. She doesn't trust me. It's like, hey, what's going on? Stay away from my popcorn, right? So imagine this little kid, all of a sudden he sees this nanny. He's like, I trust her. I totally trust her. I know who she is. So she came and picked him up. And then she was probably, you know, afraid of what's happening. But she trusted this lady. And all of a sudden this lady dropped him. And he could never walk again. And I just want to, because of the lack of time, I just want to be pausing in different, and just saying small little clubs, whatever you call it. Anyway, so I just want to say something to you. Maybe that had happened to you as well. Maybe there had been people in your life that you totally trusted, that you totally thought, oh man, they're going to help me out. Oh man, you know, I can totally go with them. I can totally rest with them. I can totally, you know, and then all of a sudden you're starting to put your trust in somebody. And all of a sudden you realize that that person, for any reason, they drop you. And you were broken. And you know what? Not only you were broken, not only they drop you, your ability to walk got affected. And you have not been walking again. Somebody lets you down. Somebody just totally abandoned you. And all of a sudden, there is that fear in you of taking the next step. And you know, I can't. I'm broken. And the Bible said that that they ran away from that castle. So she picked him up and then just took him to a place called Lodebar, which is in Palestine now. It's a place in Lodebar that means in the original, it means a place where there is no grass, a grassless place. A place with no fruit, with no grass. From the castle into a place when there is no life. Imagine that. Imagine how this little boy was growing up now. Can you believe it? Can you imagine the pain and the confusion and everything that he had to go through? Anyway, let's go back to 2 Samuel 9. The Bible said, when David said, you know, is there anyone in the house of Saul that, you know, that is still alive, that I can show my mercy for the sake of Jonathan? And the Bible said, and in if you keep on reading, there was a man, an old man that used to serve also when Saul was the king. And that man, his name was Ziba. And Ziba was there in the corner. He was listening to everything that the king was saying. And then David turned to Ziba and says, hey, Ziba, do you know anything? You used to serve here when also the king Saul was. And Ziba says, I actually do know something. Actually, Jonathan had a son. And his name is Mephibosheth. And I know where he is. And David says, would you go get him? Go get him. And the Bible said, and Ziba went outside and he went to look for this guy in Lodebar, and he found Mephibosheth. He was alive and he couldn't walk, but he found him, and he said to Mephibosheth, hey, the king is calling you. Will you come with me? And he says, how can I go? How can I go? I cannot walk. I have no one. How can I go to the king? To the castle. And he says, he wants you there. He wants you to come. And the Bible said, I don't know what the kind of conversation they went through. The Bible said that he decided to go. And obviously, you know, in those days, they probably didn't have, wheelchairs. They probably didn't have those automatic things that you have right now and things like that. Probably Ziba took him there. He says, I'm going to take you to the king because the king asked me to come and get you. And I'm finished now. Keep on going. So he goes to the castle, to the palace, to the king's place. And he comes. And then he goes down and he says, Master, here I am. I am your servant. And the heart of David got broken when he saw him. Imagine the excitement. Oh, he is the son of my best friend, Jonathan. Imagine how excited he got when he saw Mephibosheth. And he was broken, and Mephibosheth said to him, you know what? I am here. I have nothing to offer. I am your servant. And David said to Mephibosheth, you know what? Listen, you are not my servant. You belong here. And I want to do something to you. I want to give everything that belonged to your grandfather's soul. I'm going to give it to you. It's yours. And he turned to Ziba and he says to Ziba, Ziba, how many kids you have? He had like 20 kids and how many servants he had. And says, I want you and all your kids and all your servants to serve Mephibosheth. That's your job from now on. I want you to serve him. And the Bible said that Mephibosheth was taken into that place back again. And there is a quite a few times, if you read 2 Samuel 9, you will see quite a few times, and the Bible said that he often ate with the king at his table. And I just want to quickly say this and wrap it up with this. Broken, totally changed, totally in a place where there is no fruit, where there is no grass, where he couldn't do anything. unable to walk, abandoned somewhere. And all of a sudden, the king brought him home. The king called him home. And he came and he sat down to eat with the king and the servants and everything. I'm talking about restoration. What a neat story of restoration. What a neat story of hope. What a neat story. And I hope that this story goes into your heart right now for you to understand one thing, that there is a plan and there is a purpose. No matter how broken you may be, it doesn't matter how many people abandon you and drop you, there is one thing, there is hope. There is hope in the king, because the king is calling you. I want to say this. The king is calling you. King Jesus is calling you. He's saying, come. And you know what? One of the beautiful things about being at the table, when you are sitting at the table and we all eating, we are seeing the faces. We don't see distinguishes. We don't distinguish the different levels. We don't see the different things that the other person may have. We just see the eyes. We see everything. And I tell you something. He probably wasn't be able to walk ever again. But when he was sitting on the table, nobody saw his brokenness. Because at the table of the king, there is a mantle, and it's called the mantle of grace. And the mantle of grace covers our brokenness. People may say, oh, Pepe, you do this and you do that and blah, blah, blah. They don't know how broken on the inside I have been. But it's the mantle of grace that covers my brokenness. I want to say this to you. There is hope for you. God is calling you. It doesn't matter what you've gone through your life. Divorce or pain or whatever. That's in the past. Deal with that. Deal with the different things. You know, rejection, abandonment, criticism. You know, you probably were ejected from somewhere. I don't know. I don't know what you went through. But I want to say this to you. The king is calling you to eat at his table. And he's willing, he's ready to, with his mantle of grace, to cover your brokenness and for you to eat and be part of his kids. Amen? Would you just stand up, please? I went over 5 minutes. I'm sorry about that. So let's just pray. Just stand your hand. You know, I want to say this to you. there is also the place of Ziba. And also, that is the calling of God to the church. Let's be the Zebas that come to the king and says, I know of a broken guy. I know of a broken person. And I'm going to bring them home. I'm going to go and I'm going to get them and I'm going to bring them home to you. Amen? Because there is hope and there is restoration and there is healing in you. So I want to say this to you. As we pray for the broken, if you were part of Mephibosheth, like you identify with Mephibosheth, just pray. But if you are not there, we must identify with Ziba. Because there are people that are broken that need to go and be brought into the king. Amen? Father, I just pray, Lord Jesus, and as we read your word, as we read the Bible, as we learn these stories in the Bible, then you're going to bring hope into our hearts. And you're going to bring healing and restoration. And you're going to give us the hope that there is not the end for us yet. There is a lot more to do in your kingdom. And the first thing is to get our hearts healed. And Father, I just pray for a spirit of healing, a spirit of hope, and a spirit of evangelism in this place, Lord. In this place of safety, in this place where the Father lives, in this place where the King lives, in this place where we can eat at his table, Lord. Then there are going to be many of these people stir up to go and get the broken ones and bring them home. Father, we want to see this place just completely going into 2-3 services, completely going into planting more churches like Connection everywhere else, Lord Jesus, here in the island. Father, I just pray for that anointing that comes right now, the Holy Spirit. And just deposit, Lord Jesus, you call in your favor and your grace in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.